For the past few times that I've preached, I've been going through somewhat of a series on the gospel of Jesus Christ, kind of the drama of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've talked about his death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And tonight I'd like to talk about his return, his coming return, and the end of the world. This Friday will mark exactly 6 months until the end of this year. That's half the year. And it will mark 6 months until the beginning of the year 2012. 2012. Much has been spoken of concerning 2012, and much more will be spoken concerning it in the coming months. Many people are looking to 2012 as the year that the world will end. People have noticed that an ancient Mayan calendar ends in December of 2012, which some point to as the end of the world. Others have looked at ancient Chinese philosophy called I Ching, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I Ching, and deduced that in 2012 there will be a new interscholastic interconnectedness, they call it. And then some point to Nostradamus and his unclear prophecies. Still others point to an increase in massive solar storms, magnetic pole reversals, earthquakes, supervolcanoes, and other drastic natural events, and think that 2012 would be a convenient time for the end of the world considering this Mayan calendar. We love to speculate about the end of the world, don't we? And I think part of the reason for this is that we can say whatever we want about the end of the world, no matter how crazy it might be, and get away with it because it can't be proven wrong until it occurs. But people make predictions on dates, hours, and those hours pass and then they look foolish. What I find interesting about these predictions about the year 2012 is that none or very few of them have to do with what the Bible says. And even so, I sometimes hear Christians that I love and care about, talking about 2012 as the year of the end of the world. And perhaps some of you in this room wonder, is 2012 the end of the world? This past May, a preacher by the name of Harold Camping predicted, clearly based on a misinterpretation of Scripture, that Jesus would return on May 21st of this year. When May 21st came and went and Jesus had not returned, many Christians who had believed Camping's teaching and who had sold their possessions and lost everything were hurt and confused. When Jesus spoke of the end of the world, he warned us in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 that false prophets would come, and they would mislead as many as they could, even believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect, people like you and me. So our call is to be on guard against those who would try to lead you away from the faith by making predictions about dates and times. Let's hear what Jesus says and what the Bible says about the end, the last days. In Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus says, "But of that day, that last day, when he will return, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." In Mark 13, 32, Jesus is quoted as saying, "Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." In Revelation 3, verse 3, Jesus says, "I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come to you." In Mark 13, 33, Jesus says, "You do not know when the appointed time will come." In Matthew 24, verse 44, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will come." Now, why is it that the angels in heaven do not know the day or the hour? Jesus himself did not know the day or the hour. And Jesus told us that we would not know the day or the hour, but still we speculate continually on when that day or the hour will be. If the angels do not know, and if the Son of God himself did not know, why do we think that we can know? Why do we think that we can look at, of all things, Mayan calendars, Chinese philosophy books, scientific observations, or even the biblical books of Daniel or Revelation, and deduce the day and the hour when the Lord will return and the world will end? My brothers, hear the words of Jesus again. Of that day or hour, no one knows except the Father in heaven. Let no one deceive or mislead or entertain your mind for a second about Mayan predictions. God is not subject to the Mayan calendar. Study the scriptures and obey what you find. And scripture tells us what to do. It says to be ready, to prepare at all times, to be ready at any time for the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something I fear about these predictions, and I fear it for those of us in this room as well. I fear that the sheep of God will be led astray, just like Jesus said, false prophets will come and mislead people, leading them astray. And more than that, with all of the speculation about when the end of the world will come, and with all of the people who try to predict a day or a year when it will happen, it's easy to grow numb to the coming reality of the coming day of the Lord. In fact, when I hear people talk about the end times, I reflexively cringe. I brace myself at times for people who want to talk about current events and how they fit into the biblical prophecies about current and past presidents or future presidents. But even though we grow numb to the end and the end times, Scripture is not numb to the last day, and it tells us to be prepared. And further, it speaks of the certainty of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the end of this world, in the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth. And it is to this truth I want to direct us to tonight. While we cannot know when the end will come, we can be sure that the end will come. Just as Scripture promised the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ several hundred years before it occurred, promising it to happen in Bethlehem, and it was completely and totally fulfilled in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, so also the promised return of the Lord Jesus Christ will be completely and totally fulfilled at some future date. This is a certainty. It is promised in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, in prophets like Zechariah and Malachi, in Matthew, in the New Testament, in Revelation, and all in between, you can find it, references to the coming return of the Lord Jesus Christ. His return will bring an end to history as we know it, and it is to this completion of the drama of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ who came into the world to save sinners by his death on the cross, and he will return to gather those of us who have been redeemed by his death to be with him forever. But even though we don't know when this will occur, we're told a little bit about how it will occur. And frankly, we don't know exactly how everything's going to look and how it will all be accomplished. And if anyone tries to tell you that they know exactly how it's going to work, don't listen to them. And even what I say tonight, test by the words of Scripture. Read Scripture, read Matthew 24 and Mark 13, read the book of Revelation and see if what I say is true. Test me. Scripture teaches that at the return of Jesus, the sun will be darkened. The moon will no longer give off its light. Scripture tells us that the stars will fall from the sky. And we're told that all the tribes of the earth will see the Lord Jesus Christ coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and glory. No one will need to tell you when he returns. You don't need to watch it on CNN or your local news. You won't need Twitter or the internet. He will come with a great army of angels. And Scripture tells us that the archangel Michael will shout for all of us to hear, and the trumpet of God will declare the return of the Lord, and you and I will hear it. We will see the Lord Jesus Christ return. This is why Jesus tells us that when false prophets come to you and tell you that Jesus has returned and you got to come into the secret place, don't believe them, because you will know when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Scripture teaches us that when Jesus returns, he will raise the dead with his resurrection power, and he will send forth his angels to gather the elect to himself, the believers, the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us that he will judge the nations and he'll judge the peoples of the earth. He will separate the sheep, the believers, from the goats, believers from unbelievers, the redeemed of the Lord from the unredeemed. He will destroy this world, it says, by fire, and he will create a new one. And he will establish his glorious and longed-for kingdom, and his perfect kingdom will have no end. So what are we to do? Scripture tells us to be ready, to be on the alert for this day, to prepare for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told to look for and to hasten the day of the Lord, and to eagerly expect it, and to eagerly await the return of the Lord. But I think if we honestly look at ourselves, and if I look at myself, most of us are not eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord. We have been made so numb by speculating on dates and years of the end of the world and theories and interpretations that we have not readied ourselves and our hearts for the return of the King. But we are to be ready. We are to be ready now, tonight. Don't wait until 2012, which likely will come and go. I'm planning on it, coming and going. And don't wait until a great tribulation or until the Antichrist arises. Be ready now.
Yes, now is the time. Yes.
But how do we prepare? I want to suggest two ways to prepare ourselves for his return. The first way is to love and meditate on the work that the Lord Jesus has already done for you in his first coming, when he came to walk on the earth, what's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels. In other words, get to know Jesus as he has revealed himself to us already. Just think that we only eagerly await the coming of long-lost friends, of loved ones, of family members. We don't wait for strangers, people we don't know. We don't expect them. Get to know Jesus. Learn about Jesus. Open up the Bible and read about him. Read the Gospels. You might think you know about him, but you'll be so surprised as you read about Jesus. Sit and wonder as you read that the God of the universe, him who created all things, both in heaven and on earth, the things visible and invisible, how he came down and into this world of sin and chaos. He didn't just see fit to remain in the heavens to watch us die slowly. He intervened in history and he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and he died on the cross for us. While we were still enemies, he proved his love for us by dying for us. As a result of this unfathomable love and his grace which he has lavished upon us, we who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have been made friends with God. We've been reconciled to him. And we are inheritors of all the spiritual wealth and riches of the coming kingdom of God. Dwell on the amazing good news, the gospel of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take time just to consider what he has done for you. But there's this second way for us to prepare ourselves to eagerly expect the coming of the Lord. and that is to dwell and meditate on what Jesus will accomplish on his return. Get your minds off that specific day and hour of his return and guard yourselves from speculating too much about how it's going to look, and especially guard yourselves from Mayan astrology and otherworldly speculations about the end of the world. Consider that Jesus, the one who loves your very soul, will gather us who believe to himself, and we will live with him forever. Consider that when he returns, he will make a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness and justice and love and peace will dwell forever. He will bring forth a world where all of our fighting, all of our striving, all of our bickering, all of our depression, all of our hopelessness, all of our hard days of labor will come to an end. The world which we have destroyed in our sin, he will restore in his righteousness. Hear these words from Revelation chapter 21. It says, the Lord Jesus will dwell with men, with us. And they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away all your tears. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things, that is, this current world in which we live, will have passed away. And Revelation continues to say that, and he who sits on the throne, that's Jesus, he said, behold, I am making all things new. And Jesus said, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Creator, the Omega, the End. I will give to the one who thirsts. Some of you thirst. I thirst. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes this world will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. What a glorious promise for those of us in this weary and painful and sinful world, that Jesus will take away all of our pain and all of our reason for tears and grief and sadness. That the Lord Jesus will finally perfect us, that we will no longer sin. We won't have those days of undulation like C.S. Lewis talked about. The Lord will finally protect us from that fight against our fleshly lusts. We will finally be able to love one another freely. And we'll dwell together with him who is love, and to dwell with him who loves us with an everlasting love. In a love that we can't comprehend. As we reflect on what this means for us, we will most certainly begin to eagerly long for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and look for and even hasten that day. When we put our focus back on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he will do on that day, our focus will be shifted from dates and times and from our fears and uncertainties of tribulations and antichrists to a hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we will gather around and sing praises with people from every tongue and tribe and nation in perfect and unhindered unity and love. My brothers, let us long for this day, the day of the Lord, the day of the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Sustainer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hasten that day and look longingly for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that we have not longed for your presence. But as we've encountered your presence and the glimpses that we've got, just remind us, Lord, of the power of your love, and how when we encounter your love and your power, it changes and transforms us and gives us joy and life. And the hope that we have at your return, that you will make all things new, that you will pass this world and burn it up, Lord, and bring us a new world, a new place in which we can live and love and enjoy your company. Lord, help us to long for that day and stir within our hearts a love for you and a love for your coming. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.